what Eros is? You know you can love a hamburger like that. I love hamburgers. I love pizza. Don't we, Louis? Love pizza. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? They make that thing greasy and burn it. I don't love it. Don't love this pizza. Bring me another one. Some of us in here got wives got a little greasy. Husbands got a little greasy. You understand the kind of love I'm talking about? What if God loved you and I this way? This is not the love of God. This is the love of the world. It's the love of the flesh. Animals love like this. You make me feel good, I love you. So let's talk about the love of God. Do you know the word eros is not used in the Bible one time? The most popular word that we translate into love, and it is not in the New Testament. The writers that wrote the New Testament over 50, 40, 50, 60 years, the most common Greek word, they did not use it. Once. They picked a totally uncommon word. Matter of fact, we do not find it in secular Greek writing, the word agape. And Jesus puts the meaning to the word. If you look the word up, it would tell you that it meant to unconditionally care for. No conditions, folks. That's awesome, isn't it? No conditions. Your kids are on drugs, love them. And what is love? It's patience. It's kind. It's long-suffering. It's not jealous. Not prone to anger. I'm going to give you some words. And listen, folks, I'm talking about something that I know some about how difficult it is to talk about. We're talking about something now that enters the spiritual. And, folks, I'm just putting little labels on it with words. It's much deeper than words, believe me. But I'm going to put some words on it where we can communicate. I'm going to put some words on it that Jesus' life puts on the word agape. He says God is agape. The scripture that is the theme for this week says, let agape be the root and the foundation of your life. Let agape be the foundation in which all of your logic works from. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine all of your logic starts down here at this basic premise that you're to love your enemy and you're to be patient? Oh, that's not where my logic always started. Started down here where you got to get even and control folks, or man, they'll eat you up. My goodness. Let me give you some definitions of the word to stick in your head. Agape, or love, is the willingness to suffer without the desire to get even. Folks, willingness and desires are such tremendous keys here. There's a lot of people suffering and hating it. And folks, I'm not really talking about physical suffering. Oh, no. I'm talking about emotional suffering. That's the suffering that's going on in this world. The willingness, willing from this free will that you have, you are willing to suffer without the desire to get even. Dropping the desire to retaliate. Oh, we don't like that, do we? You got to dissolve the desire to retaliate, folks. You got to call it what it is. It is evil. Jesus called it evil. You have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, you do not resist those who are evil. Drop your resistance. And there's something in us that's hollering now, isn't it? Oh, no. Let agape be the root and the foundation of your life. And if you'll understand what I'm saying, you'll understand why the church is in a mess. And if you want to stop being part of the mess, let's begin to love as God loves. I'll give you another string of words to go with that. Please never forget willingness. It's an act of the will. And it's dropping the desire to get even. The willingness to serve without the desire of reciprocity. Oh my. How many of us have said this at home? Well, I just don't get any gratitude. It's not agape. Not agape, folks. Agape does not look for a return. Well, I'm not going to work there. They don't pay you enough. Oh, my. Oh, my. Here we are, this precious gift of life that God has given us, and we sell it for $4.50 an hour, $5 an hour, $10 an hour. Isn't that sick? And folks, I'm not telling you anything wrong with working, but boy, if your attitude is, I'm trading my time for money, it's sick. We need to be trading it to God, giving it back where it came from. But that's not capitalistic and democratic, is it? So what is the root and foundation of our lives? What is the root and foundation of our lives? You remember we're Catholics because why? Our parents were Catholics. You know why you're a capitalist? Your parents were capitalists. Have any of you folks done anything on your own? Just a bunch of lemmings, and whatever everybody else does, I do it. And Jesus came along and said, you must reject your father and mother and brothers and sisters and boom, blah, blah. That's what he's talking about, friends. We don't like that, do we? Reminds me of a story of the family reunion, and they always had a pot of beans with a big ham in it, and the tradition was they cut the hock off and saved it and used it later. So this young daughter is having the family reunion at her house, and she's cooking the beans, and she gets interested in why you cut the hock off. So she goes to her mama and says, Mama, why do you cut the hock off of that ham when we cook those beans? She says, I don't know. You need to ask Grandma. Goes to Grandma and says, Grandma, why do we cut the hock off of the ham before we cook them in the beans? She says, I don't know. Ask your great-grandmother. She walks over to this little old wheezing lady sitting in the Grandma, why do we cut the hock off of the ham? She said, well, I don't know why y'all do. I never had a pot big enough to hold it. Check your life out and see why you're doing what you're doing. I never in my life met many people that made decisions any different than they were taught by their mother and father. How many of you remember the song South Pacific? The song in South Pacific related to what I'm talking about. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8, to hate the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. I'm going to tell you, we're all sitting here right now with hatred for somebody because our parents hated them. We sat around and we talked about them. And it's never been a decision of yours. We're unconscious. We're asleep. And Jesus says what? Wake up! Wake up! We're asleep. We sleep all through life. Or another way he said it, well, you're dead. Wake up. Be born again. Isn't that good? Boy, I thank God he'll tell us to wake up. Agape is to be the root and the foundation of our lives. And folks, I'll promise you, it is encapsulated in those words, the willingness to suffer without the desire to get even. The willingness to serve without the desire of a return. And I know how difficult this will be for many of you when you walk out of here working it out in your lives. But remember this, you are not earning God's love. You are learning to love God the way He loves you. He has been willing to suffer without the desire to get even with every one of us, hadn't he? And we love that dimension, don't we? Oh, praise God. And he serves us. And there's nothing we can give him in return, my friends. God doesn't need me. How many of you are sitting here thinking God needs you? Oh, no. You just destroy the whole concept of God to say God needs me. Maybe the only reason he needed me was to be a forgiver. He needed somebody to forgive. So, with that in our minds, with love being the willingness to suffer without the desire to get even, we know that's the personality of Jesus, don't we, folks? You know, when you do something in the name of Jesus, it must be in that personality. You can't tack the name of Jesus on the end of something and just do it. When you do something in the name of Jesus, you do it in his personality. We'll find our whole prayer life will change. We will. We'll quit praying for cars and houses. And you start. Would you like every prayer you ever prayed answered? Well, would you like to learn how to pray where every prayer you got answered was answered and it was good? You start praying that you'll change. And all of your prayers will be answered. But folks, some wicked people will come into your life. You know, when you get to where you can take a slap on a cheek, then somebody will steal your car. And we'll see if you can let them have it. Oh, that's crazy. Oh. The world, my friends, is caught up in its own activity. And the world resides in me and you. The world is all around us. It's in us. The world is caught up in its own activity. And it's only when actions are done as worship of God that they have any value. The only time any action that you perform has any value is when it's done as worship to God. Doesn't make any sense to you at all. Somebody slaps you on one cheek. Folks, what in the world is the reason you would turn the cheek? It's worship of God. You and I believe that Jesus is God. And he revealed what we should do with our mind and our time. And I don't care where you're working, folks, if you're doing the things that he says. In your work, it doesn't make any difference. Okay? Every action that we perform must be performed, this is a very Catholic way of saying it, sacramentally. Ah, what's a sacrament, friends? Is it a sign instituted by God to give grace? Every action that you perform that is a sign of God's holy love has value. All other actions is a big goose egg. I know you're scripture readers, and you've heard Paul say it, haven't you? If you sold everything that you had and fed the poor, but you did not love, it's nothing. Big goose egg. Isn't that awesome? You know what? I'll have some people sitting here, they'll walk out of these doors today and say, my God, I never did one act that had any value. But folks, if Jesus is the root and the foundation of our life, it'll be a life of holy signs. We'll quit looking at the results. See, we're result people, aren't we? You know how long I'd work with drug addicts if I was going to look at results? How long would Jesus have been here if he was going to look at results? Here we are 2,000 years later doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Thank God he paid for our sins. See, he paid the price for our sins. Is there anyone thankful for that? Then let's show it with our lives and let agape be the root and the foundation upon which all of our decisions are made, no matter what happens. Let me give you our present Pope's definition of faith. And I'll mix the words up a little bit, but I'll hit exactly what he's saying. He says, faith is abandoning oneself to the living Word of God, knowing and fully understanding how unsearchable are His ways, how inscrutable are His judgments. Faith is abandoning yourself to living the life that Jesus left us to live, not looking at any results. Our present Pope, for instance, I'm telling you, folks, he's squealing this as loud as he can, but if you don't have ears to hear it, you can't hear it. If you don't believe it, you can't hear it. He is screaming this. The Sarans, at their anniversary a few years ago, I think about 1987, asked the Pope to give them a blessing. And so his letter came back and it said this. Matter of fact, I think I keep it in my Bible. It's Sarans out there have all seen this. Listen to what the Pope says. Prove it is possible to put in practice in the modern world the Sermon on the Mount with all its radicalism. Oh my goodness, folks. Loving your enemies and doing good to people that hate you. Blessing folks that curse you. Oh, holy signs. Ah, agape. Ah, God. Ah, us living the breath that was breathed in us by God. Instead of living idolatry, us being God. Are we, with Nehemiah, going to begin to rebuild the wall of love in us? Do you know these Ephesians that this letter is taken out of in Revelation? They're spoken to as a church. And do you know what he says to them? You have turned away from your early love. I'll read it to you. It goes along with what we're talking about. I know that this person sitting in front of you knows that that's exactly the condition in which Jesus came alive inside me. Call myself a Christian all my life. Didn't even know what it was. Just copying other folks. Can't do it that way. Can't do it that way. Here's to the Ephesians, he finally says, I hold this against you, though. You have turned aside from your early love. I can imagine how, folks, people are fighting these people and killing them, and finally they're saying, well, you know, sometimes you got to fight back. Ah. Won't be a sign of holy love. And he says, keep firmly in mind the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and return to your former deeds. He didn't say to your former way of worship. They were still doing that. He didn't say to your former belief, because he goes on right down here and he says, I know y'all know when people are doing it wrong because you kick certain folks out. You get rid of the Nicolaitans. See? He says, return to your deeds. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that persecute you. Return good for evil. Holy signs. The only action of any value is one of holy love. The only. If you and I would spend our day trying to be signs of holy love, And if we could become the kind of people that don't get all caught up when we miss it and walk around feeling guilty. You know, when you walk around feeling guilty and full of shame and blame, it's because you don't know that God's forgiven you. You do not believe that the act that He performed on the cross was sufficient. There's something you got to do. I'm not talking about doing this so God will love you. I'm talking about doing this and the love of God will well up in you. If you learn to follow mom and daddy by copying their actions, why don't you copy Jesus' actions and see if you'll be like him? Let me give you some signs of holy love. Jesus is the sign of holy love. Mary is a sign of holy love. Love of enemy is such a sign. Turning of your cheek is such a sign. Learning to live on less than your ability to produce and giving time to anyone that asks is such a sign. How many of us Americans can do that? My God, we can hardly make enough to have another boat or another car. You want to be a holy sign in a capitalist democratic nation? Learn to live on less than your ability to make and begin to give anyone that asks of your mind and your time. And it will be sacrifice, folks. And it is a learning process. Most of us can't live on what we make. We have to borrow more. But we live better than 98% of the people on the earth. But it just ain't enough, is it? It won't ever be enough, folks. And it's idolatry. Choosing celibacy is a holy sign. You understand? Choosing celibacy is a holy sign, friends. Choosing to be married to one spouse for better or for worse till death do you part is a holy sign. There'll be a lot of reasons not to do it. Right? We've all got good excuses. But see, Jesus tells us if we learn to love, it'll cast out all fear. All fear, even the fear of death. Oh, that's why he came. To get us to understand that suffering and death is a part of life. Accept it. What's love? The willingness to suffer. Everybody in here is suffering, aren't you? And you're rejecting it, and you're fighting it, and your esteem gets lower and lower, and you don't like yourself. Accept it. Suffering is a part of life. There's two things I know about the human condition. You suffer and you die. Accept it. All things work together for the good for those that love, those that are called according to his purpose, which his purpose is what? It's to love. Okay? Choosing union with one spouse, the willingness to suffer without the desire to get even is a holy sign. Serving without the desire to get even is a holy sign. Honoring your mother and father is a holy sign. Speaking in tongues is a holy sign. It's a sign. You know, great moral acts without love are nothing. I died for my country. I did this, I did that. I sold everything I had and I fed the poor. Sorry, suckers. I let a bum sleep on the church pews one time. A bum. Oh, you let Jesus sleep on the church pews. Or did you? We are the church as we live our baptism. Live it. It's to bring us to new life, isn't it? We are the church when we live our confirmation in the Holy Spirit. When we say that we are going to develop the very life of God in us, our commitment to live the Holy Spirit of God who resides in everybody because God breathed his breath in us and he's the Lord and giver of all life, there'd be no life in you if the Holy Spirit wasn't there. The question is, will you let him live or do you keep nailing him to the cross? By hating your enemies and not forgiving them. You understand? Marriage. Ordination. You notice I'm naming the sacraments. Reconciliation. When we live reconciliation, folks, When we live ordination, folks, when we live our marriage, folks, when we live our freedom from fear and death, we live our freedom from fear and death, the last sacrament. Most of us are afraid to die. I'm going to close with a story. There's a story of a disciple right after Jesus had died that went around the country collecting accounts of the miracles that Jesus had performed. And he walks to this one village and he says, tell me about the miracles of the Master. And he says, well, there are miracles and there are miracles. Where you are from, it's a miracle when God does man's will. But he says, here where I'm from, it's a miracle when man does God's will. Oh, my goodness, folks. We think it's a miracle when God does our will and we mess the world up. Why don't you pray? Why don't we all pray that we could do God's will? That's the miracle. I'm going to say one other thing along that, because I'm going to tell you all of Scripture points to that, and we read it wrongly. You know the story of the men out on the boat with Jesus, and the storm comes up, and Jesus is laying down in the front asleep, and they wake him up and say, Master, we're going to drown, save us. And he calms the storm. And then he says, oh, you of little faith. And you and I leave the story thinking we're supposed to pray that the storm will stop or that it'll rain. And he's saying, why can't you sleep through the storm? Because you've got no faith. Jesus was asleep through the storm, folks. He's not telling you to try to control the world. He's telling you to submit and accept it the way it is. That takes great faith. But instead, we all walk around as little gods, and we're going to form it in the way we want it. I'm telling you, folks, the world is all right. Jesus paid the price, and he has the final say. It all works out for good. Can you accept it and quit being a part of the horror? That's the person that is set apart from this world and in the church is the one that accepts what's going on. And folks, I'm not talking about being passive. I'm talking about being a holy sign, aren't I? Is it passive to love your enemy? Oh, no. Somebody robs you to let them have it? Is that passive? Oh, this will be the most active life you ever lived. Check it out. And I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll transform you interiorly, and you'll become a spiritual being. Oh, I lived all of my life being a carnal Christian. God, do this. God, do that. God, teach me to love. I'll tell you, I prayed that, folks, and he got me. I thought he was going to zap me, and I was going to wake up a lover. No, he sent some horrible people to me, and he says, well, can you love them? I said, well, you mean this is a choice? Oh, love is a cold, calculated decision. It's a choice. You choose to be a blessing or a curse. It is not a feeling. Matter of fact, when your feelings are going one way, know that love's the other. I'm going to tell you, let me tell you, I started this talk by saying about how good I felt about y'all feeling good about me, and that's exactly the thought that went through my mind. And David, you know that is meaningless. The question is, David, how would you feel about them if they all hated you? Everybody feels good about those that feel good about them. And Jesus loved those that hated him. Thank God he did.